Hello, my precious friend. This is Pastor Verna Brown, and I am so excited that you have chosen to join us by podcast today. I pray that this message is inspiring, it's encouraging, and that it propels you further into the destiny that God has for you. Sit back and enjoy. I love that song. That's Pastor Simone's album, Journey of Pursuit. Pastor Sean proposed to her to that song. Every time I hear that song, I have so many memories. I'm going to teach you about peace here in a moment, but I have so many memories of that night. They got engaged at the Palladium up in San Francisco, and it was a cold January night. It was on her birthday. Remember this, Vicky? We were there, and it was so romantic. We put rose petals all out, and all these tea lights, and they're going to bring her in blindfolded, and Pastor Sean's going to propose to her. And this bicycle gang, they were bicycles, not motorcycle, they come rolling in, and this guy had a boombox strapped to the front of his bicycle. Some of them were naked. And they had flowers all, like, you know, zip-tied to their bicycle. It was the most just alarming flower power nightmare. And it's, and Pastor Simone's song is so beautiful and so tender. It's just, and they're bumping all this music and there are things jiggling and jangling around. And we're like, how do we get these people out of here? And they're riding in circles around the heart of pedals. I wrote a whole wisdom love letter about this. And finally, we had to go up and talk to them. And they're like, the guy's like, oh, it's a proposal. We probably should go. But they like go out at night. These people need God. And ride their bicycle naked in January in San Francisco through the Palladium. See, we need to pray. Because there's people out there that really need God. Anyways, they had respect and left. But I have all these memories when I hear that song. I'm like, the whole night was just awesome. All right, you didn't need to hear that story, but wasn't that great? It's wonderful. We need to laugh more. All right, tonight, or this morning, I have entitled the message, Cultivate Peace. Cultivate it. You got to cultivate it. You got to grow it. And it's in you, but you can see it expanded and growed and see it grow if you know how to cultivate peace. And so today I'm going to teach you, I hope I can get through all 3 points. I'm going to teach you what I've done over the years to grow in the peace of God. So the first thing we want to do is we want to seek and welcome a deep revelation of God's love for us. Okay. A person that doesn't know how much God loves them is going to struggle in the area of peace. They can read it in the Bible that God the Father made peace between himself and us by the sacrificial death of his son. And Jesus willingly laid down his life. It wasn't like Father God just slaughtered his son. He willingly laid down his life. There was an agreement long beforehand that he would do this because he loves us. And we have that song, you know, oh, how he loves, oh, how he loves. And until you have sought it and welcomed it, somebody say welcome. See, when you welcome something, when you allow something, you permit love to happen. It goes from being a mental thing where you hear it and you know that they've said it and you know it happened to you believing that it happened for you. And many times what happens is because of the father role in our life, parental role. Some never saw their father, but because of absent fathers, because of fathers that have left and never come back, because of fathers that have spoken in a very abusive way to their children, because we carry generational stuff. It really hinders our ability to receive love from the Father. And I want you to know that Father God isn't like any sinful human being. The Bible says that God is love. He is love. So what you have to do to begin to welcome and receive this is to ask the Holy Spirit which is the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, ask him to reveal the love that the Father has for you in a deeper way. Jesus said, ask and not seek and knock. You have not because you ask not. The Holy Spirit is the revealer. He's the Spirit of truth, and he's given to us. When we receive Jesus, we receive his Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit comes and indwells us. He's in here. And he's just wanting to reveal the love of God to us. And I'm going to take you through scripture today. But he's not going to force it on anybody. Love doesn't force its way on anyone. Love waits to be invited. Right? So we can ask the Holy Spirit to reveal the Father's love to us in a deeper way. But we have to open our heart to the truth that he reveals. And many times there's a war there. Well, my daddy didn't love me. My daddy went away. So is it safe to love? Is it safe to allow this level of loving? Because we build our walls. How many of you have loved someone and got hurt because they went away? Or they didn't treat you good? Or they did something wrong to you? And now you have someone else that comes that genuinely loves you. And they want to love you. And now your walls are up. And you don't want to let them in because it doesn't feel safe. Right? So it begins there. And I remember years ago, I had a great dad. I had a dad that loved the Lord. So I didn't have that issue with my Heavenly Father. But after growing up and going out and having relationships and being with people that I trusted and seeing a lot of betrayal and experiencing a lot of hurt, even abuse, and some, I won't go deep into this, but some things happened in my teenage years with regards to relationships that were very violent. And, you know, when you have been betrayed and you feel violated by someone, it's very difficult to trust male figures. And so that happened. And so as I started to come back to the Lord and wanting to go deeper in my relationship with the Lord because I felt there were blocks there, I asked the Holy Spirit one day, you know, I want to feel the presence of God. I want to experience the love of God like I've heard about my whole life. I'm a Bible student. I sat at my Father's feet. I knew the Word of God. But I hadn't had an encounter with the love of God like I saw other people had. And it was hindering my worship. It was hindering my ability to be intimate with God. Because I could sing the song on the Jumbotron if I was around a lot of other people. But when it came to me getting quiet with God and really pressing in, and my prayers and my talks with God was more like, I love you, I love you, I love you. But if he started to share his love with me, I would just close up. Like, and I had no peace. Can you see that? There's no peace there. There's no peace in an intimate relationship with someone that you don't trust. So I asked the Holy Spirit one day, I said, how come I can't feel the presence of the Lord like I want to? What is that? He said, you don't trust men. You don't trust men. And I'm a man. I'm the God man. And that changed everything. And I said, what do I need to do? What do I need to do? I'm having trust issues. He said, you have to take the first step and welcome me. And it's true. We've got to take that step and welcome him. And at that moment, I remember breaking down and just crying and saying, I'm scared. Every man but my dad has hurt me. But I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you, Jesus. I fell in love with him because of his sacrifice and what he did on the cross. But walking with him. Going further with him. Going into a deeper relationship with him. That didn't feel safe. I saw it in the Word. But have you ever heard somebody say something to you, but the walls inside of you won't let you believe what they're saying? And I needed healing. And it was at that moment I said, I'm going to let my walls down and I'm going to let you love me. I'm going to let you love all of me. Come into this dark room here. Come over here into this other room that I've closed up. Come into all these rooms that I've locked up because of the things that I've done out of pain. And you know what I found? Once I did that, he's the most wonderful, beautiful, loving, merciful, gracious friend and man you will ever meet. He can come in and see the rape. He can come in and see the abuse. He can come in and see whatever it is that you have hidden away and bring healing to these areas of your life. And it was there that I began to walk in the peace of God. Because up until that point, I heard the voice of legalism. If you don't pray enough, if you don't fast enough, if you don't repent enough. And I believe in fasting and repenting and praying. But it was always God's disciplines were always presented as a abusive thing rather than a necessity. And that was because of legalism. And that voice had to be silenced in my life because what I was like a bipolar lover. He loves me, he loves me not. He loves me, he loves me not. Does he love me? Oh no. And it was, I got into striving. And it was all effort and work and fear. And everything in my relationship with the Lord was driven by fear, not love. And then I began to learn that there's no fear in love. That his perfect love casts out the fear. And I realized that I had not fully welcomed the perfect love of God because I still had fear. Everyone here? So then I began to realize through revelation, through time with the Holy Spirit, and he's so gracious and he's so slow and he's so loving and he just leads you along. Honey, you still got fear in your life. You got fear of being with me. You got fear. You're not settled. Your soul is not settled. And this is when I wrote this quote. Until the soul of a man is settled, saved and settled. And that's the order. Until it's saved and settled by the revelation of God's unconditional love and acceptance, it cannot find or emit true peace. Yes? So that was the first thing, is I began to seek and welcome the love of God. How do I do that? Through having prayer and personal conversation with him, but also looking into his word. Taking the words on the page and bringing them up and bringing them into my conscious mind and then with my heart embracing it. And then saying it out loud. Which brings me to the second thing I did. Rehearse the love that God has for you and the fact that you are saved. Begin to thank God for his love and salvation, and the joy of the Lord will begin to fill your heart. See, you've got to do more than just pray a sinner's prayer one day and receive Jesus. You didn't just enter into religion. You entered into a relationship. And lovers like to hear that the other person loves them. Often. And they don't just want to hear it. They want to feel it. I don't want to just be in a relationship with somebody that tells me they love me verbally, but I never feel anything from them. Yeah. So I asked the Lord, how do I begin to walk in more peace and more joy? And he showed me, you have legal roots of legalism in your life. You need to cancel those things with the truth. They have to be renounced, so you renounce it. I don't believe that anymore. There has to be a change of mind. I renounce all that, and I choose to accept the truth. Yes? So, when I begin to do this, and I want you to begin to do this as well, I'm saved. Say that right now. I'm saved. Thank God. Just say, thank you, Lord, that I'm saved. And thank you that you love me enough to save me. So I'm going to help you just do what I did. I thank you that you love me enough to save me. Now help me love you every day and let you love me. Help me do that. And as I begin to visit scriptures of salvation. I think sometimes we just need to go back to the beginning and fix the foundation. And anything that's been built upon the foundation that is not good, that's faulty, it needs to go. And anytime you're not in peace in your relationship with the Lord, based on what he did for you at the cross, and you don't have that understanding that he took care of all your sins, he loves you now and forever. He loved you even before you loved him. And he's never going to stop loving you no matter what. He saved you because he loves you. He wants to walk in a relationship with you now because he loves you unconditionally. And he's never going to stop loving you. I'm not even on your worst day when you've committed the worst heinous sin in the entire universe. Is he going to stop loving you? Nor is he going to boot you out of the kingdom because you're having a bad day. That's why he has new mercy for us every morning. And as I begin to meditate in scripture and rehearse, you got to rehearse it. When you rehearse something, Jesse, you know this because you come to worship rehearsal. You come in and you get your instrument and you work through the song until you know it. And you might love the song and you might want to sing the song and you might want to get up and nail the song, right? Because you've heard the song. But you're not going to be able to play the song. You're not going to be able to feel comfortable and be a completely unconscious competent where you don't even have to think about it anymore until you work it. That's why we have to continually combat the lies of the enemy, because he's the accuser of the brethren. He's going to point out every flaw you have. He's going to point out every failure you have. He's going to point out every insecurity you have. And you know what he always tries to do is to get you into a religious mindset that if you just toe the line enough, you'll be loved. If you just do enough, you'll be loved. You know that God loves you even when your song is imperfect? He's already brought you on the team, Jesse. He's gifted you. I'm just using a worship team member as, you know, an analogy. But he's already brought you into the family. Your song may not be perfect right now, but you need to keep rehearsing and keep rehearsing until you can get up and stand up in the victory that God has already put inside of you through that time with the word, through rehearsing his love, through rehearsing the fact that he loved you enough to save you. And when the devil tells you you're not worthy, you tell him, hey, go talk to Jesus about that because he thought it was worth dying for. Yes. And you have to rehearse that. And what happens when you do is that a river of joy and the peace of God will so permeate your life that nothing can shake you. What did that look like for me? I would get up in the morning and say, thank you for being madly in love with me. Say that. Thank you for being madly in love with me. Somebody say that right now. Just say it to him. Thank you for being madly in love with me. And one of the reasons I use that one, because I was raised in an environment where God was mad at me all the time. How many of you have known the angry father? Just, I can't do anything right. What would happen if the child walks up and goes, thank you for being madly in love with me? Disarm him. Put him in check. See, God's not mad at you. He's madly in love with you. He's for you. So I would say, thank you for being madly in love with me. Thank you for being for me. Thank you that you're always working all things together for my good. Even this mess I made, I'm going to turn it into a message that will one day help someone else not do what I just did. Because that's what he does. He turns our test into testimonies. He turns our messes into a message that he can one day use. And I would think of thank you for always helping me to overcome. There were days that I didn't overcome and I was overcome. But the good news is he got me back up on my feet. The Bible says though a righteous man falls, so righteous men do fall. It says though they fall seven times, God picks them up seven times and keeps them going. That's a complete recovery if you ask me. The number seven means complete. God helps you completely recover from the mistakes that you make because you're his. He'll chasten you. He'll deal with you because whom the Father loves, he chastens, means he corrects. Many people hear that word chastens and it's like, oh, he got the heavenly billy club out. the big belt with the cat of nine tails on the end of it. He's just going to lash me, right? No, God comes and talks to you as a father and says, you're better than that. You're worth more than that. Remember whose child you are. I've given you my name. You're from a royal family. And he doesn't shame us and guilt us, but he reminds us who we are in him. And he builds us up. And this happens as you spend time with him in the word. So I would thank God. This is what rehearsing your relationship with the Lord sounds like. Thank you for being madly in love with me. Thank you for always helping me to overcome. Never miss a moment when God brings you out of a mess that you were in and shows you more favor than you deserve. Never miss a moment to recognize that favor and get on your knees and say, you're better to me than I am to myself. And you're so for me and you love me. And you need to spend time rehearsing that, because as you do, the peace of God will settle your soul. And you will find yourself not running from God anymore, but running to him. Even in your brokenness, even when you're making horrible choices, because he's all wise and he's the one that will give you the strategy and the help to do the right thing and move forward. And realize the excellence and the greatness that he has destined you for. I see progress in here, not perfection, because none of us will ever be perfect. But I see so much progress, and we're all a work in progress. But I want to see in this next year those big victories that God has been holding for you. I want to see them so in the devil's face. Yeah. And it begins with the most simple scripture. It's not simple. It's the most profound scripture in all of the Bible. John 3:16. Everyone should commit it to memory and know it by heart. And this is with regards to rehearsing the fact that you're saved, that you're loved. And I'm going to read it to you in two versions. It says, yes, God loved the world so much that he gave his only son. So that's God the Father. So you could say, yes, Daddy loved the world so much that he gave Jesus, so that everyone who believes in him would not be lost but have eternal life. So I would just get that scripture out and say, Lord, I thank you for loving me. Let's go look at John 15:9. It says, I have loved you. This is Jesus talking now. I have loved you as the Father has loved me. Now continue in my love. That's the instruction to us. He's like, I've loved you. Now continue. See, when someone tells you to continue, you got to continue. You don't stop. You don't put those blocks up. You don't stop walking in love with Jesus. You got to continue in it. And how do you do that? You tell him every single day what he says in the word. You've loved me. The same love, Jesus, that the Father had for you. And I'm not going to stop in this love relationship. Today I'm going to continue in it. We would make a lot better choices in who we welcome into our core to so-called love us, if we were so saturated, immersed, and satisfied in the love relationship with God. That relationship with him closes the vacuum that our soul has for love. And it also will silence the voice of pretenders to say, I love you, when they really don't. When you're so satisfied in the love of God because you're continuing in that, there's a peace in your heart. You don't make impetuous decisions. You don't make impulsive decisions. You're able to back up, slow down, and take some time in regards to relationships and all kinds of other things. Why? Because the love of God has satisfied your soul. He loves you. You love yourself. You understand how much you're valued. Therefore, you begin to value yourself. And your core values, the ones that come from the Lord, are stronger than the verbalization of I love you from any other human being. And you begin to understand that I'm valuable. I'm loved. I may be broken in a few areas, but guess what? He still loves me. And I am going to stay with him and continue with him until I'm whole in my soul. And my soul is not only saved, but it's settled. And then when I come into a relationship with another person, I come in as a whole person. Not as this deep, dark pit, this vacuum that is trying to suck all the human love out of another person to fill me up and fix me. I can come as a whole person, full of the peace of God, full of the love of God, and I can give that to you, and I can accept you with your flaws and your failures and all of those other things. Yeah. I'm talking about being able to emit peace in our relationships toward one another, but also to be indwelt with the peace of God to such a degree that we are not rattled. That we are not a storm, whether love, human love is in our life or it's not in our life. And that's what you're seeing in me right now, your pastor, who was in a relationship of blissful love for over 30 years with a man who loved like Jesus. He's in heaven with Jesus, and I'm here on the earth, still in love with Jesus. He's the lover of my soul. And until a man can love me like him, he's not an option. You can clap for that. And men, you need to be the same way. And this is what I'm going to teach you, that look, horizontal relationships are wonderful, but they are never a substitute for this relationship with the Lord. And there are so many people who have never learned to cultivate this peace with God. See, when you're in peace, you can wait. You can back up, slow down, and take some time, honey. Yeah? So on the subject of where this relationship with joy and peace comes from, it's the Holy Spirit, as I alluded to. And I'm not going to be able to get into all these points today. I'd keep you here for another hour. So we'll come back to part two next week, okay? But in Romans 5, 2 through 5, it says, through him, meaning Jesus, also we have our access, entrance, introduction, by faith, into this grace state of God's favor. So it's through Jesus that we have come into this place of grace and favor with God. Watch. In which we firmly and safely stand. Somebody say that. I firmly and safely stand in a state of grace and favor with God because of my faith. Say that, because of my faith. Not because of my performance. Now that right there will deliver you. See, you can't do the next part, which says, now let us rejoice and exult. Exult means just a dance. I mean, some of you just need to do a divine dance with Jesus, whatever that looks like for you. Right? You just need to start dancing. See, it says now, Paul is saying, so since we're firm and since we're safe and since we've been brought into this state of being good with God, you know, I mean, our relationship is sound, it's firm, it's stable. Now let us party. That's basically what he's saying. Just let us party. And it's not party like the world kind of party where you hurt the next day. Don't hurt yourself. Okay? But he says, let us rejoice and exult in our hope of experiencing and enjoying the glory of God. So you can enjoy God. The glory is his manifest presence. You can't enjoy that if you don't feel safe with him. It's the knowing that you're firm and that you're standing safely in his grace that can cause you now to have a good time. Growing up in the church I grew up in, people were doing like laps around the church. There was like, they were runners. Sometimes they were pew jumpers. And a lot of that was striving. Maybe somebody had the revelation of grace. I'm not going to just assume that no one did. But it was noisy and it was loud. And guess what? There was a lot of stuff going on behind closed doors. There was a lot of choices being made that didn't align with their greatness. And you can only perform like that so long until you crash and burn. Because you cannot do what God wants you to do until you have a revelation of his grace. And you can be loud and noisy as a storm and, you know, running around the church and jumping pews and doing all the other things I saw. And I won't diss that. Man, there was some bizarre stuff going on. But, you know, they look like they've been sucking on lemons. They look like grim-faced soldiers that were not having very much fun unless they were all just, you know, acting excited. I like to act excited in a worship service. But it's what happens when the devil comes knocking on your door on Monday. It's easy to get all hyped up when you're around a bunch of other people that are acting super excited. But acting excited and being excited are two different things. I'm raising up lovers who know who they are, who know how to cultivate the peace of God in their life, and whether they're persecuted or they're partying. There's an inner peace in their life. There's a joy in their heart that cannot be stopped because they know who they are. They know their position in God. They know he loves them with an everlasting love. He will never stop loving them. They know how to party, and they also know how to push in prayer. They know how to push through when opposition is coming against their life, and they do not get knocked out of their position of peace because of the knowing who they are in God. So then he goes on and says, moreover, let us also be full of joy when? Now, not tomorrow, not next week when everything's good. Now, let us exult and triumph in our troubles. Woo! Let us do it in the trouble. Do your dance. The song was on this morning. I'm going to dance like David danced. But he's telling you when to do it. When everything's great and all the churches are open and revival, so-called revival is happening and we're just, whoo, whoo, bam, bam. That's sometimes the only time people actually get super excited about God. We've had the whole season of the manifestation culture. They were manifesting on Sunday and they were manifesting something else by Sunday evening. God is raising up consistent ones who walk in the peace of God, who can rejoice in the trouble. They can rejoice in the suffering, knowing that the pressure and affliction and hardship and unswerving endurance. See, when you're in peace, you're not going to be like a swerving. Watch, tell somebody don't swerve. See, you don't want to be in a car. You don't want to be on a road where people are swerving. You don't want to be in a car with somebody who's swerving. You don't want someone driving your life who's swerving. Why y'all laughing? Where's my snorter? Somebody snorted last week. It was the best ever. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't swerve on me. Don't swerve. I'm going to land this plane very soon. But I want to take you into some deep scripture. See, I started praying to the Lord. I said, Lord, I saw so many people. They were hyper. They were hyper spiritual. They were hyper this. All over the place. Boing, 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 boing. In one day, out the next. You know, I'm holy. I'm a skanky pink. I'm at the bar. I'm at church. You know, just back and forth. I told God, I don't want to swerve. I don't want to be driving a bus. How much to bring back the energy bus? I don't want to be driving a bus that's swerving. Somebody's following your life. Someone is watching your witness. Someone is looking to you for leadership. And I always say, if you can't lead yourself, don't try to lead other people. I don't want to follow somebody that's swerving. I need to be with people that know how. And I need to be that person for you. You need to see that in my life. And I'm desperate for God all the time. Lord, don't let me swerve. Don't let me start getting all, you know, irritated and upset and, you know, jerky. And that's what happens when you're not at peace. I like to be with a peaceful driver, not a drunk driver. All right. says, and endurance, fortitude, develops maturity, character, approved faith, tried integrity. Your integrity being tried right now, anybody? It will continue to be tried. You've got to just make up your mind. I serve God. I love God. God loves me. And I'm at peace. And anybody that's going to try my integrity, I can't get with that. I got to stay with God. And I got to stay in peace no matter what's going to happen here. And there's a lot going on out there. There's a lot of things trying to pull us off our position and out of our peace. And you need to be so at peace with God. So just know, God loves me so much. He has a future for me. He knows the plans that he has for me, and they're good. They're hope and favor and victory and so many wonderful things. So now I'm going to rejoice in the trouble. I'm going to rejoice in the suffering. I'm going to be joyful with confident hope of eternal salvation. I'm saved. There it is. I'm saved. I don't need a man to save me. I don't need friends to save me. That's fun. I'm fine if they want to come help me, but I'm already saved. I've been saved, delivered, set free. I'm eternally loved. Paul goes on and he ends this with such hope never disappoints or deludes or shames us. There you go. It's not God that shames us. Don't let your conscience condemn you. Don't let the devil condemn you. Don't let a religious structure or system condemn you. You are not condemned or shamed. Shame has been taken off of you. Don't live with disappointment and delusion. Ooh, I feel so good preaching this. Here it is, and we're going to sum it all up. For God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given. Say to me. I want you to just look at that. That has to become your truth. God's love has been poured out into my heart through the Holy Spirit who has been given to me. How much of it I experience is up to me. It's time to open the doors. I love the song, Spirit Break Out. Break down the walls. God is beckoning his bride right now. And he's saying, close the door, like I preached a couple weeks ago, to the enemy, and open every door in your soul to me. Because it's going to be my love that settles you. It's going to be my love that keeps you. It's going to be my love that fuels the joy in your life. And the joy of the Lord is your strength. And during this season that is upon us right now, which we don't know, we're all hoping and praying that COVID-19 just blows out here within the next 12 months and things can kind of get back to what we knew as normal. I'm not even setting my hope on anything in the past as my normal. Because if that doesn't happen, then we'll be disappointed. My hope is in Christ alone. Seasons may change. Systems may be falling and crumbling, but he remains the same forever. I am in him and he is in me. You are in him and he is in you. He is the same strong, amazing, loving Father God for you that he is for me. My dad loves us and he has our back. And if we will trust him, no matter what happens in this season, we will not fall because he will never fall off of his throne. Amen and amen. Worship team, you can join me. Yay! Go ahead and stand to your feet. I have some other scriptures there, but I think I'm going to end with the one that I love. This one I've committed to memory, and I just want you to, let's read it together. It's Romans 8:37 through 39. Anytime you see the word we, say I. Yet in all these things, I am more than a conqueror and gain an overwhelming victory through him who loved me so much that he died for me. For I am convinced and continue to be convinced beyond any doubt that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor things present and threatening nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor any other created thing will be able to separate me from the unlimited love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, my Lord. Give him praise. Father, we thank you. That is our truth. Help us to be even more convinced daily of this truth. And may the strength and the peace of God that passes all of understanding be upon every loved one. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I'm going to dismiss without giving an altar call for salvation, because if you just read that scripture and declared that Jesus was your Lord, you're good. Amen and amen. Woo! If you need prayer, our prayer team will be here to minister to you.
Well, we'd like to thank you for joining us today. Thanks to those who give generously to this ministry. It's because of you that makes this ministry possible. You can click the link below in the description box to give now or visit soulharvestwc.org/podcast for more information. If you've enjoyed this podcast, you can subscribe. You could also share with your friends. Click the share button, take a screenshot, and also share in your social media stories and tag us at soulharvestwc. Thanks again for listening, and God bless.